What is it?
This is your file. To send it back to the judge for evaluation.
Oh. Hey, you're not gonna fail me, are you? What's it say?
Wanna read?
Have you had any experience with that?
20 years of counseling.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty awful shit. I mean, have you had any experience with that?
Personally?
Yeah, I have. Sure ain't good. So, what is it, like, Will has an attachment disorder? Is it all that stuff? Fear of abandonment?
Hey, Will, I don't know a lot. You see this? All this shit. This is not your fault.
Yeah, I know that.
Look at me, son. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
I know.
No, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't fuck with me. It's not your fault.
Don't fuck with me, all right? Don't fuck with me, Sean, not you.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Oh, my God.
This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for joining me today. You know, when I was in the Christian churches, I was in various denominations. Let me give you the gist of the gospel that was presented to me. First of all, I was told that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believed in the God of creation. But I was told that God made Adam perfect, and God intended that Adam should never sin. So God made this perfect creation, but Adam screwed it up. In other words, God intended for man to be perfect and sinless, but man screwed everything up for God. And so God had to go to plan B. Man was so awful now, God said, oh no, man screwed up, I have to provide for him. So what does God do? God gives man 10 commandments. Why? Just to show man how nasty they really are. So God gave man second chance at the 10 commandments, just to show them that they really aren't good enough, just to show them how wicked they really are, how totally depraved they are. And that was the gospel I was presented. And then one day God reluctantly sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. But that work really wasn't enough. He sent the Christ to die on the cross, and that was God's last straw. In other words, God said, okay, here is your final chance, humanity. You made a choice in the Garden of Eden, but now I'm going to give you a second choice at the second tree. Just as man failed at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now I'm giving you a second chance, mankind. I sent my son to die for you. Look how much I've done for you. Now you better make the right decision this time. You screwed it up back in the Garden of Eden. But now you must make a second choice of your own free will. You must choose and undo what Adam did in the garden. In essence, that was the gospel I was presented with. I was presented the gospel of the reluctant and the gospel of the helpless God. That God was somehow a spectator in all this, that he had nothing to do with the Garden of Eden, that man screwed everything up. Well, then I became a Bible student. And then I realized that the cross of Christ was not God's last straw with mankind. I was always presented that the cross of Christ was God's last straw. In other words, this is it. If you don't fix yourself here, then that's it. You're going to burn forever. That was the gospel I was preached. But then I read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and Paul says this. Yet all this is of God. And what is of God? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5, 16 and 17, we read this, "So that we from now on are acquainted with no one according to flesh, yet even if we have known Christ according to flesh, nevertheless now we know him so no longer. So that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by, lo, there has come new, yet all is of God." Now what is of God? What is of God? The primitive and the new. God did not create the first man without, he didn't screw up when he made Adam. Some think that when God made Adam, God intended that Adam would be perfect and sinless. But guess what? God made Adam for a purpose. He needed the background of sin in order to display his grace. As a matter of fact, when you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, we read this. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, we read here, "If there is a soulish body, there is a spiritual also. Thus it is written also, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, and the last Adam a vivifying spirit. But not first the spiritual, but the soulish, thereupon the spiritual. The first man was out of the earth, soilish. The second man is the Lord out of heaven. Such as the soilish one is, such are those also who are soilish. And such as the celestial one, such are those also who are celestials. And according as we wear the image of the soilish, we should be wearing the image also of the celestial." What does this mean? This means that God made Adam flawed by design. There's a book written called Flaw by Design. I'm sure most of you know it, by Martin Zender, and it's a fact. In Romans 8, we read this. "Why did sin enter into the world? Why did corruption come? Was it because God screwed up and God had an intention to make man perfect and man just screwed everything up? No. According to Romans 8, we read this, verse 20, "For to vanity was the creation subjected." Just read Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, it says. "Not voluntarily." In other words, this wasn't creation's problem. This wasn't man's problem. Man didn't subject the world to vanity because he screwed up. But notice what it says, because of him who subjects it in expectation that the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. You have to have the time of corruption and vanity and groaning, according to Romans 8, before you can enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God. God never sinned when he created Adam. If God created Adam not to sin, God failed. Let me repeat that. If God created Adam not to sin, God failed. God created Adam, he made him soulish, of the soil. God put the serpent in the Garden of Eden. And guess what? This was all part of God's predetermined plan. God never missed the mark. He knew full well that we are creatures of contrast. We cannot know love unless we know hatred. We cannot know salvation unless we first know what it means to be lost. We need the contrast. But man has presented the cross of Christ as God's great, as God saying, "Okay, this is it, mankind. This is your last opportunity." But guess what? The cross of Christ is not an opportunity. The cross of Christ is not God's last straw with mankind. It's the proof that God's purpose all along was to redeem mankind. The sufferings of Christ are not for nothing. God intends to save all mankind, and he will save all mankind through the cross of Jesus Christ. Religion presents a reluctant God who really doesn't want to save people. But the scriptures present God as the one who's at friendship with the world. 2 Corinthians 5, we have to take this seriously. It says, "Yet all is of God, who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation." That's our message, not a message of judgment or God's anger that God hates mankind. "How that God was in Christ, conciliating the world to himself, not reckoning their offenses to them." And yet, what do we have gospel preachers doing? We have gospel preachers going all over the world condemning people for their sins. But the message we have is God is not against you. Our message is not that God's going to judge you. Our message is none of that. Our message is that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. And come into a realization that tell them that God is not angry with you. Christ suffered for you. He died for you, and the cross of Christ, without your input, without your cooperation, is enough to redeem all mankind. But this is not enough for religion. In religion, the cross is God's last straw, and unless you do something about it, you're going to burn forever. That's the message of Christianity. It's a sad message. Now, do we believe in the judgments of God? Of course we do. They're all throughout Scripture, but God's judgments are for man's benefit. Man will learn through all this. We need the contrast. Pharaoh could do nothing about his condition. Neither could Judas. Neither could any of these men. But one day, because God is going to bring all mankind to himself, one day we'll all celebrate the goodness and grace of God, that even though he created some vessels of dishonor and some for honor, it won't matter, because then we'll realize we all had a role to play in God's aeonian purpose. So don't mess up the message. Proclaim the right message. The message is not about man's sin. It's not about man's abilities. It's about what God has accomplished through his Son. God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. God is not angry with you. People always think that God is upset with them, and they always point to themselves and their faults. But God is not angry with you. Let me repeat this again. God is not angry with you. Let me repeat this. God is not angry with you. And let me also say this, it's not your fault. People are always looking to find fault with themselves. But God was in Christ conciliating the world unto himself. Do you realize that you can't help sinning? You can't help it. You were born mortal. Romans 5:12 says this, and you can only get this right in the Concordant Version. Therefore, even as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and thus death passed through into all mankind, all on which all sinned. Why do men sin? Because they're subject to death. They're in mortal bodies. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. You can't help but sin. It's part of your nature. This is who you are. So guess what? Stop struggling with it. Stop looking at your sins. Stop looking at yourself. Appreciate what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. One day God will eliminate sin and death altogether through the work of his Son. So proclaim the right message, the message that Paul proclaimed in 2 Corinthians 5. Well, I hope this is enough. I hope this is encourages you. And remember this again. Repeat this to yourself. The cross is not God's last straw with mankind. It's the proof of God's love for mankind. It's only the beginning. It is the first act of God to prove and to bring all mankind unto himself through the work of the cross. God didn't screw up in making man. He had a purpose for every detail of his creation, including the sin of man. Sin was needed in the background. If God didn't want sin in the world, it wouldn't have been here. I know that sounds blasphemous. I know it does. But remember in Genesis 20, God told Abimelech that he withheld him from sinning against God. God could have done that in Genesis 3. Why didn't he do it in Genesis 3? Why did he allow sin to enter into the world if it wasn't part of his plan? The answer is it was. The answer is it was, because he needed it, because we're creatures of contrast. Well, I hope this is helpful. This is Dan Sheridan. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.